أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you might be well aware that in the previous lecture we talked about the concept of imama in the light of Islamic thought. And we did touch the importance and the significance of imama. Imam alayhi salam said that Islam is based on these five major pillars and these five major principles. And the transmitter of the hadith, or the rawi, asks Imam about the importance and significance of these principles. Imam alayhi salam responds, or Imam alayhi salam's response is this, that وَلَمْ يُنَادِي كَمَا نُودِيَ بِالْوِلَايَةِ. And none of these principles are that much important. None of these pillars are that much important as that of wilaya. Imam alayhi salam in this narrative tells the reasons behind the importance and significance of wilaya, and says the establishment of those pillars or in debt of wilaya. In another word, Imam alayhi salam says that if we want to have true hajj, if we want to have true establishment of prayer in religious texts, and then for sure the observing fast, all of them can be established, can be truly established under the supervision of a just and fair and indeed a knowledgeable leader. The significance of Imam lies from this perspective, that the true establishment of the rest of the pillars are in debt of wilaya. And wilaya, in the previous session we talked about the definition of wilaya, it not only includes the religious issues but also the socio-political and socio-cultural issues are also included under the realm of Imam's jurisdiction or supervision. So today, God willing, we are going to talk about those characteristics which, according to the Shia theologians, should be observed in pinpointing or in appointment of an imam. When we are going to follow a leader or an imam's words, actions, and behaviors, and he has to play as the role of an example, so what are those characteristics? What are those terms and conditions he has to fulfill? One of those important characteristics that today, God willing, we are going to touch, that is the knowledge of Imam. But prior touching this significant topic, knowledge of Imam, let me have some two and three important points for you. respectable audience and distinguished listeners, one of those important points that should be talked about, that is, whether Imam is of the secondary issues or Imam is of those main and principal issues in Islam. Whether Imam is of those fundamental principles of Islam or Imam is from those secondary and peripheral issues that we have some many other jurisprudential or we have many other juridical issues as well. Which one suits best? Which one is more rational? Which one of them seems more rational? According to the Shi'ites' theology, and according to the Shi'ites' theologian view, Imam is considered and observed to be of those fundamental principles of Islam. Why? Because it is not like secondary issues of jurisprudence. Because Imam should never be, Imam is the one who has to be appointed and who has to be determined by Almighty Allah's will. It is Almighty Allah who determines who has to lead the Muslim after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household. It is not a matter of jurisprudence. It is not of those secondary and peripheral issues. Rather, Imam is of those fundamental principles of Islam. It is part of Usuluddin according to the Shi'ites' theology. It is not part of those secondary and peripheral issues. It is not of Furu'uddin. Rather, it is of those major principal issues, not from those secondary issues. The reason that the Shi'ites' theology believe that Imam should be from those principal issues is this, that Imam and Imam plays the most decisive in definitive role after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household in the Muslim community. Due to its high significance, and due to this, the establishment of the rest of the religious issues is indeed in debt of Imam and Imam. So due to this, the Shi'ites are of the view that Imam is of those major principles of Islam. It is not of those secondary and peripheral issues and matters. But our Sunnite brothers, since they believe that Imam should be appointed by the Muslim, and it is not Almighty Allah who has to determine the Imam for the Muslim community, so according to this background, according to this foundation, they are of the view that pinpointing Imam is of those jurisprudential issues. It is the duty of the Muslim community that they have to choose their Imam. It is not Almighty Allah who has to determine Imam for the Muslim. But according to the Shi'ites, since Imam should enjoy a host of characteristics, and one of them is infallibility, and since the human beings cannot discern the infallibility of a man, so human cannot play a vital role in pinpointment of an Imam, in designation of an Imam. It is Almighty Allah who has to determine. As for the sake of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Almighty Allah did it. Almighty Allah revealed this revelation. Almighty Allah revealed this verse of the Holy Quran, that Ya ayyuha rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata, wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his farewell pilgrimage was ordered to do what? To declare Imam Ali alayhi salam as Imam, to determine that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the Muslim's leader. If he did not do it, Almighty Allah says, if you do not convey this message of mine, it is as if you have not done your whole prophetic mission. So how important is the vital role that Imam plays and how important it was that the whole prophetic mission of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was bound on this declaration. If he did not do it, it would have been as if he has not done his whole prophetic mission. The concept of imamah or the institution of imamah is not a very simple and of those secondary issues. Rather, it is of those principal issues. It is of those fundamental principles of Islam. We call it usuluddin. If the religion is going to be established, so imamah is one of those essential parts. If imam is not clear, if the Muslim community are split due to the very important issue, so it shows how important is the position and the office of imam. We have to keep it in mind. The Shia theologians have said that there are some 8 important characteristics that imam should meet, all these characteristics. Otherwise, he is not eligible to be called and to be termed as imam of the Muslim community. So what are those important characteristics? One of them is knowledge, that he has to be most knowledgeable. No one else should exceed him in knowledge. No one should be more preferable than him in terms of knowledge. So he has to have the knowledge of Islamic teachings, the Islamic instructions. He has to be fully acquainted of the Islamic rulings, the Islamic commandments. So a man cannot be a leader unless he has to have full knowledge of Islamic instructions, Islamic principles, the Quranic view about each and every issue in the whole anthropology. According to one of the most prominent scholars of the Shi'as, so those 8 terms, those 8 conditions that every imam should meet, they are as following. The first is knowledge. The second is infallibility or inerrancy. The third is courage. And the fourth is being excellent amongst the people, being the most virtuous amongst the people. So the fourth is virtue. The fifth is being bereft of every kind of shortage, being bereft of every kind of, we can say, physical or mental illness or diseases. He has to be free from every kind of physical and mental diseases. Another one, he has to be the closest to Almighty Allah. He has to be closest in the sight of Almighty Allah. The seventh characteristic that he has to meet is he has to be able to bring miracle if required. The miracle in this sense, it in the talk of imamah, means karama. So, though there is not, we can say, essential difference between karama and mu'jizah, but again, mu'jizah or miracle in the sense of nubuwah, in relation to nubuwah means that no one else should bring like that. In karama, the Shi'ats are of the view that imam should be able to bring a miracle. It means he has to be able to produce or to perform some miraculous actions, some marvelous actions that should denote and that should connote his close relationship with Almighty Allah, if required. And the last is that in every age there is one imam. There is only one infallible imam. The rest of the people, even if they have their own small, we can say, bosses or leaders, all of them should be under the supervision of one infallible imam. So these are the 8 important characteristics that every infallible imam should meet according to the Shi'ites' theology. So once again, I will count them. The first is knowledge. The second is infallibility. The third is being the most virtuous. The fourth is being the closest in the sight of Almighty Allah amongst the people. And the fifth is that he has to be bereft of every kind of mental and physical illness. The sixth is that he has to be able to bring miracle, karama. Another is that in every age there only stands one imam. And the last is the courage. He has to be the most courageous. He should not be a person who is intimidated easily. So all these eight characteristics are essential for imam. So God willing, today we are going to talk about the first important characteristics, and that is infallibility. That Imam alayhi salam, he who succeeds to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, he must enjoy inerrancy, he must enjoy infallibility. His words, behaviors, actions should be standard, should meet standard criteria, or should be 100% true. His words, his behaviors should not prompt or should not be the cause of misguidance. Yes, if we do not observe this condition for Imam, so every fallible person can lead the Muslim. But again, the risk is there that sometimes he might mislead the Muslim community. And due to this, the Shi'ites theologian have keenly or have sharply thought about the characteristics of the Imam, that all these characteristics should be met. And one of them is infallibility. So who knows the infallibility? How to know the infallibility? Or who is there he has to discern an errancy of an individual? So due to this, the Shi'ites are of the view that the people cannot play a role in designation of Imam. It is Almighty Allah who has to play the final, the first and the last role in this regard. Because he discerns infallibility. He knows everyone's state. The human beings might be aware of one's impurities. The human beings might be aware of one's apparent impurities, but he is not aware of ethical, moral, and spiritual impurities. Almighty Allah alone is the one who knows all these purities. Almighty Allah is the one who knows all these impurities. So he has to discern, he has to designate the Muslim leader after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, for the Muslim community. So there is a discussion whether this inerrancy is something that can be acquired or it is something that is granted. The scholars have been divided into two divisions. Some of them support this, that inerrancy, which means isma, which is an insight, we can say force that restrains one from committing sins, it is something that Almighty Allah grants, Almighty Allah gives. It is not something that can be acquired. It is a faculty that has been given to Imam prior his birth. But some of the people or some of the scholars are of the view that no, due to Imam's deep knowledge and insight from Almighty Allah's majesty, and due to his deep knowledge from the impurities of the sin, he does not commit sin. It is something that can be developed through the passage of time. It is not something that is to be granted by Almighty Allah. Yes, day by day, if you increase your faith, if you increase or develop your faith in your actions, the more you add to your actions, the more you add to your faith, Almighty Allah would shower His blessings upon you. But again, this faculty is something that is acquirable. That is something that Imams acquired. Keeping these two approaches in mind, both the approaches agree that Imam should be infallible. He should not be prone to errors. For example, in interpreting the Islamic verdicts, in interpreting the Islamic instructions, in teachings, the Imam should never be prone to error. The Imam should never be exposed to blunders. That is the output, that is the outcome of these two approaches. Imam should never ever commit mistakes. Why? Because if he commit mistakes, so Imam will be the source of disagreements amongst the people. Sometimes he say this and sometimes he would say that. Which one of them or which direction should be taken by the Muslim community? Imam should be a person who tells the truth. And he gives the true interpretation of the Islamic teachings. You know that Islam covers a host of issues. Islam covers all the issues from different perspectives, from different aspects. So in every step, the Muslims are in need of having true interpretation of their Islamic teachings. So there should be an Imam that he has to present us, he has to offer us the true interpretation of the Islamic teachings. Otherwise, all would disagree. There will be all the people would be prone to hazardous actions. That is why Imam should be infallible. So the reasons behind Imam's infallibility, what are those reasons? What are those arguments? Dear listeners and respectable audience, if you could remember the reasons of infallibility of the prophets, those reasons, those arguments which we brought from different rational and traditional perspectives, the same arguments and the same reasons can be applied in this respect as well. And there is no need that we have to repeat it. The most important one of them was this, that Imam's orders are the same as that of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Is it possible that a fallible one's orders should be obligatory on the Muslims? For sure not. For sure not. Why? Because there will be some contradictions. Think for a moment that Imam is fallible. So on those times that he commits errors and mistakes, if he issues fatwas, if he issues verdicts, if he pronounces some verdicts, so either the Muslims should do it or not. If the Muslims do it, they have mistakenly, or they have done, or they have committed mistakes due to the mistakes committed by the Imam. While Almighty Allah is not satisfied by the mistakes committed by the Muslim community. If the Muslims do not do it, it goes counter to Almighty Allah's orders that you should always obey the Prophet and the one who succeeds to the Prophet. Why Almighty Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَتِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Who is أُولِي الْأَمْرِ? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَتِيعُوا اللَّهَ. You have to obey Almighty Allah. In obedience of Almighty Allah, there is no disagreement. Again, in obedience of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, there is no disagreement. It is clear. Again, this verse of the Holy Quran continues saying, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. He in whose hand is the commandment or the command, he who possesses the commandment, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, the example of أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ is the imam after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Almighty Allah in this verse of the Holy Quran said that you have to absolutely, without any condition, your obedience to Almighty Allah should be unconditional. For Almighty Allah always tells the truth. The same as Prophet always tells the truth. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allaha, you have to obey the Almighty Allah. Wa ati'u ar-rasula, you have to obey the Divine Messenger. Wa ulil amri minkum, and the Imam after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Think that we, according to the Shi'ites point of view, Imam is infallible. Otherwise, his obedience would not have been tantamount to Almighty Allah's obedience. Otherwise, his obedience would not have been equivalent to Divine Messenger's obedience. Since his obedience is termed equivalent to Almighty Allah's and to that of Divine Messenger, we believe he has to be infallible. Otherwise, it is not true that he has to be fallible, and again he has to be absolutely imitated. And again his words should be imitated and should be followed without any condition. No, he has to be infallible so that his words should be unconditionally followed. Otherwise, if he is fallible, as one who might commit mistakes or might commit blunders or might commit sins, his obedience would have been conditional. Almighty Allah would have said that on times that he is not doing or not committing mistakes, he is not doing crime, he is not doing sins, he has to be followed. Almighty Allah could have said this, but Almighty Allah did not put this condition. Why? Because it is taken for granted that a'imma, or imams who come after the Divine Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, they are infallible. So due to this, their obedience is not restricted, is not, we can say, imprisoned with conditions. Their obedience is unconditional. This is the most important argument that supports the Shi'as claim that imams after the Divine Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, should enjoy infallibility and should enjoy inerrancy. They should be infallible. Otherwise, their obedience would not have been tantamount to Almighty Allah's and Divine Messenger's obedience. So, dear listeners and respectable audience, may God bless us all to firstly understand all these important concepts, and then we have to apply all of them in our daily life so that we could win eternal felicity and happy life in the hereafter. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.